If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I call your attention to Genesis chapter 3. I don't want to rush through this. You know, the black church is the only one that says take your time. I preached at Presbyterian churches and a Methodist church, and when I stood up, you know what the pastor asked me? How long will you need? I said, man, take me 35 minutes to read my scripture. I said, but I'm a guest in your home. So I cut it off in the front, cut it off in the back, and warmed it up in the middle. In all of the Bible, throughout all of its 66 books, there is a point upon which all the other doctrines revolve. It cleverly escapes us simply because we are capitalists living in Western civilization whose mindset is that God must do something for us. Many of us are pulled into Christianity on the lure of God making your life better than that where he finds you. We find ourselves coming to the house of worship only to have God do something for us. And so we miss the simplicity of the first call. The first call is the call that separates us from every other religion, every other faith, every other dogma in the universe, if I can use that term. It speaks both to the strength and the weakness of God. Allow me to explain that the weakness of God is such that you and I are participants of that weakness, and if it were not for that weakness, we would not be sitting here today. But the weakness of God is his love and his mercy. He knows that we are but dust, and he knows that even we may decide to do something that violates his will, and yet he wakes us up in the morning anyway, knowing that at 2 o'clock we're going to do something wrong. He graces you from 6 a.m. till 2 o'clock, and then when you commit the sin at 2 o'clock, he sends double grace, because wherever sin abounds, grace is much more abounding. It has been the thing that has kept people away from God, because they expect him to be a consuming fire all the time. I don't want God to be a consuming fire to me. I want him to have mercy for me. He knows my heart. He knows I don't want to disobey him. He knows that weakness comes. So I say, work with a brother. He knows that sometimes I make bad choices. Work with a brother. So when we go to Genesis chapter 3, we find something that's often preached, but not often understood. I'll read it to you out of the Living Bible because I like the narrative. Verse 8, that evening they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, and they hid themselves among the trees. And the Lord God called to Adam, why are you hiding? And Adam replied, I heard you coming, and I didn't want you to see me naked, so I hid myself. God already saw him naked, just like he sees us naked. That's why I like to be completely honest with him, because he already sees you naked. What makes Adam make this statement now? Because he became self-aware. You see, before he was not self-aware, he was God-aware. And when you're God aware, it doesn't matter if he sees you naked, because you know he clothes you in his righteousness. But when you become self-aware, you see your own faults, and that's when you hide. When he hid from God, the Bible is clear when it says they heard him walking in the garden, which suggests a normal meeting schedule. It suggests that they had always had an opportunity for sharing and connecting. Adam says, I heard you coming, which means I heard it from before. He didn't say, I heard a strange noise and I ran from the strange noise. He didn't say something was stirring up that I had no knowledge of. He said, I heard you coming as I heard you before. But this time I could not greet you as I did in the past. I hid myself because I did not want you to see me naked. And notice the next interrogative from God. Who told you? Lord, have mercy. I don't know if you can put yourself in this position. This question that God asks of Adam is a relationship question. It's not a question for the impartation of knowledge. He's not saying, I need you to validate your thesis. I need you to tell me what are some of the components of your theory. He is not saying, put this to the test. He's asking him, who have you allowed to come between you and me? Somebody told you something that I didn't want you to know. Now, who have you let in? You have to see how powerful this is. It is not just the information of his nakedness. God is too smart to analyze this thing on one degree. He says, whoever told you you were naked must have also told you to violate my instruction. He said, did you eat that fruit that I warned you about? Now God is putting one and one together. He's now a first-class investigator. The only way for you to find out you're naked is to have eaten that fruit. And the only way you would have eaten that fruit is if you let somebody else come in between my instruction and you. You used to do it as a child. Your parents would say, don't go around the corner. Just go up to the corner. But don't go around that corner. They would come home and find you around the corner. They would call you back and say, didn't I tell you not to go around that corner? You say, but Bobby said I could go to the store with him. Listen to me carefully. At that moment, you loved Bobby more than you did your parents. Because the Bible teaches who you love is who you serve. At that moment, Adam's love for God was replaced by another power. My brothers and sisters, Satan was not after the promise of God. He was not after the boundary of forbidding that fruit. He was after a connection in the spirit realm. He was trying to separate Adam from his love for God, and the way to demonstrate whether you love God or not is if you obey what he says. And so God said, and I'm going to make this very colloquial, God said, who have you loved more than me? That they could take you and bend your will against what I told you not to do. Many of you struggle with obeying the commandments of God, but I submit to you, you are not struggling with obeying the command. You're struggling with love. You are struggling with loving God. If there is anything or anyone that you love more than God, they will take God's place in your heart. They will take God's place in your mind. They will take God's place even in your praise and worship. While your hands are up in physical realm giving God praise, in your mind, you'll be thinking about that person. What is this call? What is the Lord calling us into? You and I focus on called to be. We focus on called to do. But God doesn't specialize in calls to be or calls to do. The primary call of God is the call of intimacy. And this will be difficult for two-thirds of us in this great place of worship, primarily because for us, intimacy is always co-defined by sex. So when you say you're dating a person, and they say to you that they want to have an intimate relationship, you immediately shift to bedtime. But intimacy has nothing to do with sex. Because if that were true, I would suggest to you that prostitutes are the most intimate people on the face of this planet. And you know as well as I do, there ain't nothing intimate about being a pro. But what is it that God is calling us into? Glory. I would suggest to you that many of us are ignorant of the true purpose of God's selection of you and I. God did not call me because he knew I would be a pastor and a bishop over an organization. God did not call me because of my fair looks or my brilliant skills. God did not call me for any of those things. God called me because he wanted to love me. And if you are not comfortable with the love of God, then you will constantly be on the search to do things for God, which will cover up the fact that you really don't love God, but you love the things of God. And then you become susceptible to the devil's pull because all he has to do is change things. This is not the fault of any of us in this church. It is something that has been given out by preachers and the organized church for decades. People really think that God truly is the blue genie in Aladdin. People really believe that God exists just to give you stuff. People win folks to Christ under that particular teaching that no matter how rotten your life is, Jesus will make it better. Many of you sitting here today, I would hazard a guess that you're sitting here saying, I hope God makes my life better. Jesus did not die as a privilege for you. Jesus did not die, listen to me, to make your physical life better.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
2216A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. Here's what he does. He won't get you to sin, but he desensitizes you to holiness. After watching the devil's stuff all week and enjoying it, you cannot come in here and lift your hands and worship God. The Bible said, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? They that have clean hands and a pure heart." You'll sit there and say, "Oh, the praise team ain't moving me." No, no, it's you that are dead to the praises because you've allowed Satan to fill your mind with all manner of ungodliness. You've become the cesspool of the devil. You become ignorant of the devil's devices. He can't take salvation from you, but he can mess up your fellowship.
Be inspired to strengthen your relationship with the Lord and become the leader you were called to be when you read Bishop Lambert's new book, The Christian and the Culture. It is Bishop Lambert's desire for believers to recognize the importance of continuing to seek God despite facing the obstacles of today's culture. This encouraging publication will challenge you to reevaluate your life as a follower of Christ and renew your faith in the Lord. Visit Amazon.com or ChristianandTheCulture.com to purchase your copy of this compelling writing from Bishop Eric Lambert, Jr. For more information, call 215-885-2585.